B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
E-class.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Coming up on 4:05 in the afternoon, Felger and Maz fully loaded here. Felger and Maz Murray from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. Talking about Justin Verlander's comments about Major League Baseball juicing the baseballs. He says it's a effing joke. Major League Baseball is turning the game into a joke, said Verlander. They own Rawlings, and you've got Manfred up here saying it might be the way they center the pill. They own the effing company. If any other $40 billion company bought a $400 million company and the product changed dramatically, it's not a guess as to what happened. We'd all know what happened. Manfred, the first time he came in as commissioner, what'd he say? He said, we want more offense. And all of a sudden he comes in, the balls are juiced. It's not a coincidence. We're not idiots. So I think the ball's definitely juiced. I think the players are still juiced, kind of. Not like they used to be in the 90s, but still doing something. I think the nerds have taken over. Launch angle, three true outcomes, those things that have increased home runs. I think the owners want the home runs because it worked for them in the 90s, as Maz said. And so I think it's going to work for them again. The only deal is that it hasn't worked. It hasn't worked. It hasn't juiced the game. It hasn't given the game a boost. It hasn't. I don't think it's caused a ripple. I think people who don't care about baseball have not been back to baseball. Period. Story over. The people they're losing, they're losing. And the people they're not bringing back, whether they hit a lot of home runs or a little. It has not made an impact. And that's the big difference from the steroid era, which worked. Which worked from a business standpoint. Boy, did that work. Now, they're hitting more home runs than they did then, and hasn't caused a ripple, I don't feel. And so that's what we're talking about right here. That and your thoughts. We'll get back to it. How about David in Lowell? Lead us off this hour. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, guys. Is it me or are these managers getting paid all this money to do absolutely nothing?
I agree, David.
It's a good
yes.
point.
Yep.
You see these guys get up at the plate, lefties, and I show you the stats. He hits 12% to the left, 88% to the right, and you got the shift on. And you know what? They're waiting for him to hit the ball through the shift and get a hit. Anybody could put that bunt down on that left side. If you're a major league player and you can't drop a bunt down third base when the third baseman's playing shortstop, there's something wrong.
Yeah, but the nerds will tell you that's an inefficient way to attack that. The best way to attack the shift is to hit over it out of the park. So the nerds have told the manager.
They hand them a script, essentially, before these games start and say, follow this.
It's so true. Those hit charts, and you see it now. The networks have caught on, and exactly where he hits it. Exactly. He hits at this point at 12%, 86% in the middle, 13% over here, and they're positioned accordingly. Does the manager have any say in that?
No.
Or did they hand the nerds all the data, and they hand back the hit chart, and that's where the players end up?
Yeah, again, in a lot of ways, it's ruined the fun. I come back to the whole managing thing. What do I need you for, then?
To babysit.
We've laminated it for you, too.
Yeah, that's really the job now, is to babysit. Manage the personalities. In terms of the pitching changes and everything else, what the hell do I need you for?
So, no question, that's a factor. Charlie in New Hampshire. Hi, Charlie.
All these points come back to the bigger issue, which is that the game is still way too long. And the fact that Major League Baseball has been too pathetic to look right in front of their face and see that the highest rated game on ESPN this year was the College World Series just speaks to their ineptitude and the fact that they can't mimic a game that has installed the pitch clock and all these timing rules and has pitchers that get the ball and get right back on the rubber and hitters that still take pride.
Hold on one second.
It's incredible to be in college baseball to a certain degree is blowing up and professional baseball is declining.
Charlie, is that true? The College World Series outrated these ESPN games?
Yes.
I'd like to look that up.
Yeah, I don't know that either. I'd like to see that myself.
But I'll tell you this.
I wouldn't rule it out, though.
I'll tell you this, honestly. Unless the Red Sox and Brewers are playing, I stop at a women's softball game and watch that more than I will a neutral site baseball game.
Mm-hmm.
If my teams are playing, I watch it. Okay, but that's different. You've got a rooting interest, and that changes everything. But if it's just, you know, wallpaper and it's on in the corner, I'm stopping at those college women's softball games before I'm stopping at whatever, Padres, Dodgers.
You don't have to convince me. Again, I'll click around. If I see something like that, I'll stop. If it's a baseball game, Cardinals and whoever, forget it. I'm out. I don't care. the you know, and it's not just that the games are too long. The whole thing moves too slowly. There's not action. There's not enough to engage the viewer. There's just not. And you can play all the little gimmicks you want.
You can hit all the home runs you want.
Right. You know, you can put A-Rod and Jessica Mendoza in left field in Houston or right field in New York and put them on top of the wall in Fenway. I don't care.
I have it for you here. He was correct. Vanderbilt, Michigan, Game 3 scored a 1-3 rating and 2 million viewers in Wednesday's Game 3, the College World Series final. It outdrew every Major League Baseball game on ESPN this season, with the current high being 1.97 million for Red Sox-Yankees earlier in June.
That is, wow.
Well, it tells you something, doesn't it?
Does college baseball go 7 innings or 9?
No, they play 9.
They play 9?
Yeah, in the World Series, they play 9.
I'd be curious what those women's softball numbers are. Was there a single women's softball game that, I mean, now you know you're really in trouble. No, you know, no offense, but if the women's softball is challenging you, I mean, I know I'd rather watch that. I know.
Murray, can I be a complete pain in the ass?
No, go right ahead.
Could you look up the time of game for that College World Series game?
Oh,
just,
sure.
Just out of curiosity.
So
I would love to see roughly what a college baseball game takes.
And there is a pitch clock in college baseball?
I think there is.
So I'm looking at, they actually have the list of the top 10 baseball and softball audiences on ESPN, and there's no women's softball on it.
That's true.
Oh, no, wait, no, my bad. It's 7, Women's College World Series, UCLA versus Oklahoma. They got nearly 2 million viewers, 1.8.
So they're right there.
It beat Brewers-Cubs on May 12th and Cardinals-Cubs on June 9th.
Thank you. Women's softball's beating these, and I know I'm using the highest-ranked women's softball game, but, you know, they're on the same list. So, I mean, and you're hitting a record number. So this is my point. They're hitting a record number of home runs.
They keep putting their head in the ground as to the real problem. It's unbelievable.
The home runs have not helped the game. The business of the game, the interest in the game, home runs have not affected that like it did in the 90s. Steve in Florida. Go ahead, Steve.
Matt said it perfect. The people running baseball are so dumb and out of touch. And the way to fix the game for the viewers and make the players happy is so simple. Pitchers were crying about the pitch clock because they lose 10 seconds. They lose arm strength. Their pitch is 1 to 3 miles an hour per hour is less.
That's right.
What you do is you implement the pitch clock and you move the mound up 6 inches to a foot. That way it fixes everything. It fixes it for the viewer and the pitcher.
Okay. Why are we moving the mound? Let's not do that. Let's just get the guys to throw it quicker. They, for hundreds of years, well, at least 100, more than 100 years in baseball, they just got the ball and threw it.
Right. And the other thing is, now that I think of it, if you make them throw it quicker and they do lose a mile an hour over,
maybe the ball gets put in play a little bit more.
Bingo. Bingo. Maybe all of a sudden there aren't as many strikeouts and we get more balls in play.
Larry in Weymouth has a Red Sox thought. Thanks for holding on, Larry. What do you got?
No problem, guys. So I think that my grandmother could do a better job with Dave than what Dave Dombrowski is doing right now, because I don't understand how you see all these blown saves by the bullpen and then you just see, oh, we're going after starting pitchers. Like, I know we've been saying this a lot and like we've been like saying this a lot, but I don't understand the logic. I really don't. Like, well, can you explain it to me?
So
please?
Here's the logic. We did the exact same thing last year and we won the world championship. I mean, really, last year at the deadline, Larry, everyone's saying bullpen, bullpen, bullpen. He went out and got a starter and that helped the entire staff and they won a championship. So that's what I think they're thinking.
Well, thank you. But I just don't understand it. I mean, I don't remember it being this bad last year, was it? Like, Brazier actually looked good last year. Now he just looks like a...
Well, Brazier came on late. It was really Kelly and those. Well, he came on late, too. They had their ups and downs. Well, the difference last year is you had a closer.
Bingo. Yeah. Yeah, look, and if you want to tell me that you believe in sort of the trickle-down effect of a pitching staff, that if you go get another starter, the bullpen pitches less on that day, and, you know, over a period of time, that all of a sudden now everybody's batteries are a little more charged, everyone's a little more effective, you know, and then come playoff time, you're going to move that guy into the bullpen anyway because you're only using 4 starters.
And the guy profiles that way with his velocity and swings and misses and blah, blah, blah.
Fine.
Which is what this Wheeler kid is,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Similar to Eovaldi, I would say, in a lot of ways. Really. Like, so you want to tell me all of those things that you believe in that? I can't tell you you're wrong. Like, again, it worked for them last year.
And isn't it just so typical Dombrowski? At least it's consistent Dombrowski, which is he's going to defer to the starting staff over the bullpen. He's going to neglect the bullpen while loading up on starters.
Yes, it's what he's done his whole career.
And would you say he's done it pretty well?
I would say up until last year, he'd been a colossal failure at it. I would tell you that the absence of a bullpen cost him a championship in Detroit a couple of times, maybe.
Against you.
Right? Like, really? There were probably a couple of occasions in there where they blew it. And they, if they had they had a closer, they might have actually won the thing. So, you know, I think he takes it to a fault. Like, he takes it a little too far. But the concept of you win with good starting pitching is not exactly revolutionary. Right? So I believe in building a good rotation. The question is, do you do it at the expense of everything else?
Okay, we'll continue with your thoughts. The whole Justin Verlander stuff with the baseball spawned a bigger conversation about home runs in the game and how they haven't saved the game. Like the 90s, they have not saved the game. So your thoughts on that? We start off with some Patriots stuff. Gronkowski's back and forth. Is that starting to bug you? Is Brady playing a contract game with the Patriots with his social media post? We can circle back to that as well. I do want to give you a Celtics minute. Just a little NBA Celtics thought of the day coming your way right after these words.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bored my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
So here's your Celtics thought of the day. It's not a great one for the Celtics. Anyway, I was reading Steeple Pett in the Herald today. And he wrote, he's in Vegas for the Summer League. Steeple Pett wrote that I arrived here last Thursday fully believing that unless the Celtics could acquire some tall people to play defense, they were nothing but entertaining middle-class fodder in the East. So he went out to Vegas, says this team's nothing. But he writes, a number of NBA coaches and executives have been raising their eyebrows and taking a different look at the conference since Kawhi Leonard took his talents to the Clippers. And upon further review, the East is not looking so menacing, writes Bullpet. He says, quote, and quotes one unnamed general manager. It's wide open, the GM said. Wide open. Right now, I'd say you've got five teams that if they won it, I wouldn't be surprised. Milwaukee, Philly, Toronto, Boston, and even Indiana. Indiana's going to be there too, said the GM. And he allowed that Brooklyn with Kyrie Irving, but even without Kevin Durant, is a wild card in the deck as well. And Bullpet then goes on and says, as we sit here less than a month after the finals, there is no team in the East that doesn't come equipped with a few or more questions. And then he goes through some of it. Milwaukee. They did well to retain Chris Middleton and Brooke Lopez, but everyone agrees the departure of Malcolm Brogdon is going to be a major blow. In addition to his scoring and defense, Brogdon was a settling factor when Eric Bledsoe's game got a little wobbly, which is a great way to put it. He was Eric Bledsoe insurance because Eric Bledsoe remains a clueless loser. Bum. And Brogdon, legit, fundamental, good, pro, steady ball player.
Solid, and really rock-solid player.
Great antidote to the jackassery of Eric Bledsoe, and now Eric Bledsoe has more room to be a complete jackass. And that's a big factor. In Philly, he writes, you know, we've spent a lot of time on Al Horford, and no doubt he should work well with Joel Embiid. But the discussion around here, meaning Vegas, has been more about the exits of Jimmy Butler and J.J. Redick,
mm-hmm.
and how that will affect Ben Simmons. After all, Butler was the guy the Sixers paid to get his own shot, and Redick was the long-distance marksman who spaced the floor, gave everyone else room to operate. So what does that mean now for Simmons, who can't or won't shoot from the outside? He'll continue to be a beast in transition, but you get some interesting looks when the subject of Simmons' new contract comes up. It'll be very interesting to see how that all plays out. So what that all means for the Celtics, he writes, in the wake of losing Irving and Horford, will be able to seriously compete for the conference title they were being handed last year. Opposing coaches have spoken highly of Kemba Walker's fit, and there is, too, some anticipation of what Gordon Hayward will be after a full summer to continue his rehab. Quote, those 30-point nights that Hayward had last year, they were not a mirage, said one executive. I'm not sure how they're going to find the right amount of time for all their wings, but if he, meaning Hayward, is back to being near where he was, he's going to have an interesting year with Kemba Walker. So, my thought is this. What if they just been able to keep the team together? Now, forget adding Anthony Davis. Forget adding another free agent. Forget making any of the moves.
That keep, what they had last year worked.
What if they keep Kyrie and Horford?
What if they just kept Kyrie and Horford? What if they just kept Kyrie Irving and Al Horford? Would they not be the clear favorite in the East?
Without question.
It would be them and Milwaukee and then everybody else.
Yeah.
It'd be them, Milwaukee, and everybody else.
Yeah. And in fact, if you could get the whole thing to work, this is presuming that the chemistry issues don't exist.
You're better obviously. Than Milwaukee.
Right. I mean, I think you could argue that they could make a run at the title. I wouldn't say win it.
And so that's another, the league is so wide open that you could make a run at the title. You'd have to, if you face off against Kawhi Leonard and George,
sure.
You know, you'd be underdogs, probably against the Lakers too. But that gap is smaller than it was with that super team in Golden State and you, say, last year.
Correct.
If you had just, so never mind making that next move and compiling assets and cashing in for Anthony Davis or something bigger. If you just stood pat, if you were just able to keep your guys, you're the...
No, if the guys were able to just not act like a bunch of bitches.
Okay, that too. Really right. So if they acted like normal human beings as opposed to a bunch of bitches, and you were able to keep them, and, you know, if
they might be the prohibitive favorite in the entire NBA. Maz is right.
If you were just able to make the thing work, and they stayed like they said they would, you could be the odds-on favorite.
Yeah, you'd be right there or close.
Never mind having to do that again. That next thing is hard, right? To get guys to cut, but you wouldn't even have to do that this year with Durant out and the league, you know, flipping on its ear. Isn't that even more painful?
Yes, of course. Yes, I mean, but again, like on some level, I'll tell you that's what made this past year so frustrating is because as it turned out, Golden State was vulnerable. The door was open. It was there. Had you put it together, it was there. You had the pieces. In fact, you had too many. So the one caveat I would give you is don't stand pat. Whittle away a couple of extra pieces. Right. Maybe you get rid of Marcus Morris. Maybe get rid of Rozier. Okay, and you get it down to like seven guys or something like that. But yes.
So never mind.
They were there.
You having to land Durant or Anthony Davis or Kawhi Leonard. Forget that. All you had to do was make it a workable situation for Horford and Irving. And you'd be right there. Ooh, like that's even tougher to consider. And now that I take the next step, do you blame them? Do you blame the team for not making it work with Irving and Horford, where they had to go elsewhere?
So the things I blame them for are the things I blame them for all along. Too many bodies. They should have identified that earlier. Maybe they should have identified it going in. It's one thing to look at and say, well, we won 9 or 10 deep. Look at how deep we are. We'll put our second unit on the floor. We'll blow everyone else away. Yeah, except for the fact that the guy who's in the second unit wants to be in the first unit. So that's a problem. And once you got to the deadline, you should have moved Rozier. That was an easy one. I mean, really, that was a layup. At the end of the day, they didn't get anything for Rozier. They really, what did they get, a second, late second round pick? Something like that? It's going to be nothing. So that you know, to me, they should have just cut bait right then and there. And, you know, could they have done more early in the process to mitigate some of the chemistry problems? Could Stevens have been more of a factor? Could Ainge have been? I don't know. I mean, if I were them, I would second guess the crap out of that.
So we can dig deeper into the details, but the point is you didn't make it work. You had them.
Yes, it was they had the pieces.
You had them. And you had even gotten them to commit to stay. Now, we can debate whether that was just bullcrap from Kyrie, whether he meant it or not, but he meant it for a night. He meant it for a time. And he was actually fine the first year when he first got here, he was fine. He didn't pull half of the jackassery that he did in that second year. So it was all right there. You had him under contract. You had him. I mean, they all had to opt out. It was here. And you couldn't keep it together.
In fact, like you could even argue, had the thing gone the way they wanted it to. Let's just say that they lost in the finals. Maybe Horford opts in.
Right. If you're really one step away, if you're right there versus being second round fodder.
I mean, again, maybe you just look at it totally different. Maybe Horford says, no, I'm going to win a championship here. I got plenty of money.
I mean, we can blame Kyrie for this. And part of me wants to, because he's a freaking jackass. But he looked at it and deemed, with all of your good young players and all of your great coaching and strong general managing and all of it, he looked at the barren wasteland of the Brooklyn Nets as a better place to go than here. How is that possible? Well, what did you do? Or is that just all on him?
I think it's all on him. Did you read, I think it was Chris Mannix in Sports Illustrated today. It was a little bit more insight as to his
decision. I did not.
Yeah, I'll send you the
link. Show me.
Yeah, I'll get it to you. There's not much there, but there's some insight. That there's one particular line that stood out to me where it was like, standing in the GM's office for the first time the day he signed the contract in Brooklyn, he outstretched his arms and said he had been waiting for this moment for a long time. Like, he had it in his mind to, quote-unquote, go home for a long time. So this, and he also mentioned in the column, like, it soured when he said, talk to me July 1st in February. That's where it broke in his mind. I can't work with these kids. Whatever the issues might be with the coach, he was just done in Boston.
Yeah, that came
as
after
far
that,
back as February.
The January trip to Florida where the kids went out in South Beach and he tried to pull a hard-o move and went shooting by himself in the gym and they had that disconnect. And then the next night he didn't get the ball in Orlando and he called Bron and then he had to sit the next game against the Nets. And boom, that was mid-January. And by the first week of February, ask me July 1. Go F yourself.
Yeah, I still think on some level he was looking for an excuse to disconnect. Like, you know, he was looking at it going, yeah, see, they don't get it. It's no point in me being here.
So it's all him? There's nothing to do with you?
No, it's some of you. No, it's not all him. Listen, I've been a Kyrie defender.
I say you, I mean the Celtics.
Yeah, I think it was a Celtics thing. Yeah. I mean, but I include all of them in that. Like, it was part Kyrie, it was part Stevens, it was part Ainge, it was part Rosie. They all had it, and they couldn't see it. Oh, my gosh, what a blown opportunity. Someday they're all going to look on it, the young guys in particular, if they never win. Right? And on some level, you almost hope for that. Like, as cruel as that is, and I don't mean that literally, but that they would look, that Jason Tatum will be 31 years old and go, man, we had a good team that year. Or Rozier will be 31 years old and go, geez, all because my ego got in the way.
I was worried about 12 minutes a night versus 15.
Right, when all I had to do was ride it out and I was going to get my 19 mil no matter what. Just because he didn't understand. Someday it will dawn on them what an opportunity they blew.
Okay, there's your Celtics Minute. You can weigh in if you want with the baseball stuff right after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Right back to your calls, as promised. Jason in Boston on the baseball conversation. Yes, Jason.
Yeah, I mean, it's a two-part. Like, with the baseball, I feel like is baseball when I'm 33 years old. Baseball when I was younger was almost like it was thrown in your face. Like, I grew up in the inner city in Boston, and I swear Mulvane might have been to my elementary school 30 times in a year. You know what I mean? And it was just thrown in your face. And after school, you know, you play pickup baseball, and then there's just baseball everywhere. You know what I mean? And now it's like, it's hard. You know, it doesn't have that thing. It doesn't have it where it's out there. You know, I don't think a kid wants to be Mike Trout. He's a good guy, enormous player, but a kid doesn't, you know, it's not on a kid's mind to be Mike Trout or whoever else and these other stars now. And I think what's even more dangerous is I feel like the NBA kind of figured it out now this year. And now they have parity and they have teams now where almost every team has two stars.
Jason, it's not just that. And thanks for the call. It's a better product on a nightly basis. It's 2 hours and 15 minutes. It's up and down, you know, when you're getting out. And it's just a tighter, more compact package. And there's up and down action, and it's just a better product on a nightly basis. I'd say the same thing about hockey. The thing about baseball is I don't think you're getting it back, whether they hit home runs or not. Like, I just don't think you're going to draw new people to the sport. It's just dying a slow, slow death, which I don't think anyone can impact. All these things that we complain about, I want it for selfish reasons. Like, I don't want them to speed the game up because I think it'll bring kids back to the game. It probably won't. I think that ship has sailed, don't you? I mean, whether the game's 2:30 or 3:30, it'll help if it's 2:30, but I still think a kid's not going to watch. I want to watch. It's for me because I'm still the last, you know, in that last generation of baseball fans that can actually do it and want to do it. So these are the things. I want it for those of us who are left in the sport. Not those, not forget trying to draw new people. I think that's a whole different thing that's, boy, going to be a really hard pull, no matter what they do. But can you at least do a little bit more for the people who are still here? That's what I want the rule changes
for. So that's a fair point. Like, you know, I still wonder if somehow you can find a way to make it thrive again. And I'm not saying to the point that the NFL is. I'm just saying, how about just grow a little bit? That's all, instead of shrink. Because that's what's happening. And but that would require a radical overhaul. Now, as far as what the caller said, let's not confuse the baseball problem with the Boston problem. Those are two different things. What you had here in the 90s up until 2004 and even 07, you're never going to have that again. That's gone. Like you're not going to go a century without winning a world championship and have the quest for the Holy Grail. Like that's just, you're not going to get that again.
I totally agree with that.
Different problem. Totally different problem.
Absolutely. Tom and Quincy, how about the actual team? How do you feel about your Red Sox right now?
I gave them a D yesterday. I've lightened up a little bit. Just to answer what you guys were just talking about real quick before I get to my point, Mike, like me and Tony are all roughly in the same age group. I think we're almost like the last god of baseball fans that actually want the game to improve, like you said, as opposed to introducing it to new people, take care of it for the people that have watched it their whole life. I agree with you on that point. The other thing I wanted to call about was there's usually good talk about, you know, moves and this and that around the All-Star break. Now, I can just totally blame Dombrowski for this, which is fine with me. Do I really have to entertain the Zach Wheeler talk? Is this what we're going for?
Well, let me ask you, Tom. Tom, why don't you give Dombrowski some credit for doing this with Nathan? When they traded for Nathan Eovaldi last year, we all went,
bum. I like that. I give him credit for some of the moves he's made. My issues are, now that he actually really needs the help in certain areas, he has no one to give to get them anymore because he gave them all away for Thornburg and Carson Smith and bum, one after the other. So I don't think they need starting rotation help necessarily. They do need bullpen. So I don't want Zach Wheeler.
Okay, but this is my point, really? Tom. I mean, because you said it last year, I don't want Nathan Eovaldi. And it turned out to be the exact right guy. So I think Dombrowski deserves a little bit of deference on this, and I'm going to give it to him. If he could pluck Nathan Eovaldi out of the heap last year, I'm going to give him a chance that the Zach Wheeler kid or somebody else that I don't know about, but I'm not paid to know about it, but Dombrowski is, that he's going to do that again because he did it for me last year, and I'm going to give him that chance. I'm fine with that. I'm glad they're adding to the team. I think it should be bullpen help too, but if he's more comfortable with the starter and is looking to duplicate the Eovaldi thing, fine with me.
Yeah, look, there's every chance he'll be right again.
And don't tell me that they don't have the ammo just for Zach Wheeler. They must for that.
Oh, no, they have the ammo for Zach Wheeler. Yeah, I think that's going to be the kind of guy they go after. It might allow him to make multiple moves, too. So then the question would become, would you rather have one good reliever or one pretty good reliever and Zach Wheeler?
The second thing.
Right? So like, you might be able to, and again, he did that last year. I mean, effectively, that's what he did. He went out and got himself Ian Kinsler, and he went out and got Eovaldi, and there was one more they made, right?
Pierce.
Pierce. I forgot about Pierce. That was earlier. That would end up being a huge acquisition for him as well. So they really, they nailed some of those. So I would prefer a reliever. I have felt that way for a long period of time. But if Wheeler comes in and does what Eovaldi did, how are you going to bitch about that?
Exactly. And so if that's what he wants to go do, I mean, just because I don't know the player or like the player necessarily, that's not how it works. If the guy's got the track record, go ahead, do it again. And if it fails, we'll hammer you. Eddie in East Providence. Go ahead, Eddie.
Hey, Michael, you stole some of the thunder. give me 10 minutes. Watch the baseball game. It's 2.5 hours, but give me 10 minutes of the game. Dad, I gave you 10 minutes of hockey. I just watched 10 minutes of baseball. I can't watch baseball anymore, Dad. I watched hockey. I cannot, for 10 minutes, even watch this. That's... You know, it's good for us. We want to keep it. I agree. I'm older than you, but the kids just aren't going to watch it. The games are too exciting. The other games are too exciting.
Okay, right. So I'm not saying, well, let's save it for the kids because I think you don't have much of a chance with them. I want to save it for us. Us. And I'm not talking about the real baseball demo, which is 65 to death. I'm talking about us.
25, 54, 25 yes. to like 65.
25 to 65, normal human, you know, like I want to save it for me. And it's not even selfishly. It's not even a regular season thing. Because regular season, I think baseball now has become for us, like I said, wallpaper.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the TV. It's in the corner. And, I mean, some of the nights it's just crazy. The guy comes up to bat, 1-0. I'll go into the other room, go into the kitchen, do the dishes. I'll come back. He's still at 3-2. Same at bat, like 5 minutes later. Like, and still, like, I didn't miss anything. I'm still waiting for the payoff pitch. And that happens routinely. I can't tell you how many times. I can't tell you how many times I will go to the TV and turn on the TV to watch the Red Sox postgame show. And I turn on Nesson, and the programming note and the thing on the guide says Red Sox final or whatever they call their postgame show.
Right. Then you click on it, it's still the game.
Seventh inning.
Seventh inning. I can't tell you how many times that has happened to me where I go and it's like, okay, I can watch the postgame show. I'll catch up on the postgame show. I'll find out what happened on the postgame show. Let's turn on Red Sox final. I turn it on. The bottom of the screen says Red Sox final. And then they come back from commercial and it's the top of the seventh. That happens so often, I can't even tell you. But that's regular season. I can take it or leave it. I can go. I cannot go. The postseason is where I really feel it the most because I want to watch every pitch. I want to watch those games. And some nights you just can't. I went and looked this up because I had to suffer through this one. Because I had to watch two. I had to follow two teams last year in the postseason, this one and the Brewers. They had a game against the Dodgers in the NLCS. They had a game that went to like 2 or 3 in the morning here out east.
I remember that.
It was 13 innings, okay, which isn't 23. 13 innings.
Should be a, you know, 3 hour and 45 minute game.
5:15. Took 5:15.
I remember it.
It ended at something like 2 or 3 in the morning in the East, which isn't totally their fault because it was a West Coast start. But half of the country, who even for all the marbles, the NLCS, it took 5 hours and 15 minutes. I couldn't watch it. And I'm dying to watch it. I couldn't. That was the game where there were 32 combined strikeouts against 15 hits. The entire night was pitch and catch between the pitcher and the catcher. The Milwaukee Brewers struck out 15 times and had 8 hits. The Dodgers struck out 17 times and had 7 hits.
So now this gets dangerous because of Felger and Maz math. Do you have walks there too?
Yep, let's add the walks. I got the box score in front of me. 5 walks by Brewers pitching, 4 walks by Dodgers pitching. So let's add up the walks and the strikeouts, shall we? 22, 26, 41. 41 walks or strikeouts, 15 hits.
I mean, see, this is it.
5 hours and 15 minutes, 5:15. That goes till 3 o'clock in the morning. When there are 41 walks and strikeouts and only 15 hits.
Right. 1 out of every 4 batters, you're getting someone who puts the ball in play.
How do you, like, that's...
No, who gets a hit? Who gets a hit?
So if that's in the regular season, go F yourself. The game's off in the second inning. I'm not even going to watch the postgame show on that one. But that's a playoff game you have to watch, you want to watch, you want to, and you can't. It's impossible. They make it impossible.
No, they do. They absolutely make it impossible. And again, that's why I say the only way I think any of this changes... And when I say changes, you stem the tide and maybe start to push it back in the other direction a little. The only is if you got to dramatically alter the way the game is played. Otherwise, forget it. It's going to do exactly what you said. It's going to die a slow death. But I don't know if that's 20 years, 40 years, 50 years, 10 years, 5 years. I have no idea. I'm not into predicting when the demise is going to happen. I'm just telling you that eventually no one will give a crap.
And that magic bullet. That magic bullet of we'll just have them hit more home runs and people will come back to the game.
It's not working.
Hasn't worked. Record pace for home runs and people have not come back to the game. More of your thoughts in our long commercial-free segment. We'll update some of our Patriots thoughts that we let off the show with as well. Rob Gronkowski is playing the will he or won't he game and someone's not very happy about it. We'll talk about it right after this.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Mad.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Action. Hey, Rob, it's Tom. How you been?
Hey, Tom. Good, man. I've been doing great, man. You're still killing it. You're like 42 years old now. I mean,
yeah.
I know you miss me, Tom. I know you do.
I do. I do. Gronk, I do, man. It's not just me. It's everybody. We all miss you. And, you know, things are going great. You know, Bill's a pain in the ass, but it's really, you know, it's really something that could be better with you. Would you think of coming back and playing with me, Rob?
Oh, Tom, I mean, you know, I miss you too. I miss the guys, but I'm just chilling, man.
Training camp doesn't start for another 2-3 weeks. We're not even through the second week of July. And Maz, what are you already sick of?
Gronk. This whole idea of Gronk coming back. Like this little stupid game. Is he coming back? Isn't he coming back? Is he going to come back for game week 9? Is he going to come back for the playoffs? What about Gronk? They can play without him at the beginning. They can add Gronk at the end. Is he coming back? What about Gronk? I'm done. I'm already done. Yes or no? Give me a yes or no so I can move on with my life. Like, this is the part of it that I find kind of annoying, that we now have to sit here and say, what, like when, you know, the trading deadline comes along. Well, it depends on whether or not Gronk comes back. So we got to factor this into every decision now. So
that was Rob Gronkowski with Rich Eisen on Rich Eisen's broadcast last week. And Gronkowski continues to put him out there, put himself out there in these situations, playing this game of will he or won't he. And this comes on the heels of a report yesterday that he had a workout with Tom Brady at UCLA in the last couple of days. So again, what do you think this is all about? A, that's the first part of this topic. What do you think that's all about? You think he's really coming back? And two, how do you feel about it? We're focusing on the two right now. How do you feel about it? It's bugging the crap out of us.
Oh, my God. It's already driving me bananas. Really? Again, they haven't even started camp. The guy's been retired for, what, 2 months? And he's already, like, this whole thing is already kicking up again, and it kicked up before he even retired. Yo, what if Gronk retires, but he doesn't really retire?
Well, his agent said it on the day he retired.
Oh, my gosh, so irritating. I just find the thing so irritating. And if I find it irritating, what do you think Mr. Chuckles down there feels in Foxborough? Belichick's out of his mind over this thing.
Oh, and he should be, too, because, you know, you're either there or you're not, and he's right to feel that way. And I saw that thing pop up just before the Baseball Reporters ended last night, and it's my last headlines, and I'm like, oh God, here we go again. He's catching with Tom Brady. Like, here's going to start all the nonsense. If you've looked at him, he looks like he's dropped some weight, 30 to 40 pounds, I think. And to me, that just shows he's not going to come back. But as long as he doesn't have a real job, and it doesn't feel like he has a real job, whether in broadcasting, movies, whatever, all this stuff's going to continue, whether he's hanging with Brady, hanging with ex-players. If he's just around, people are going to continue to speculate that Gronk is going to come back at some point.
Do you think he's playing it up, Murray?
I think so, a little bit, because I think some of it has to do with the fact he hasn't found a real gig. I think like most people, if he was going to retire, which he has, he was immediately going to jump to doing broadcasts or getting into movies or TV shows or something. And it just feels like he's just around. You know, like he's doing a lot of charitable work, which is great. And I think that's what he was out in L.A. for, some sort of charity basketball game or something like that. But I don't know. Have you heard anything of Gronk actually like getting a gig? Because I haven't.
Keeping his name out there.
So this
it continues to have Gronk's name.
By priming the pump and just teasing the comeback thing, that keeps his name in the news and maybe helps him get a gig. Maybe. I think that's a big part of it. I think there's a chance he comes back, too. I do. But the whole back and forth, I mean, I know how they felt. I said this earlier about how Brett Favre handled himself and holding that franchise hostage back and forth, and will he or won't he, till finally they had to say, get out of here. We can't just, you know, let you dangle, you know, just let us dangle every single offseason without knowing if you're going to play or not, so you're out. Goodbye. And they finally fired Brett Favre. Best thing they ever did. This is a little different. It's a tight end, not a quarterback, but I can't believe Belichick would let his team be held hostage like that. But in the same breath, as we said before, as we've come to know now, Bill Belichick doesn't completely run the football department. That would be Robert Kraft and Tom Brady. And so if Brady and the owner want him back, does it even matter what Bill thinks of this?
No, probably not. Again, if they're in cahoots on it, if Brady and Kraft are in agreement, yeah, Gronk said he's going to come back week 11, and Kraft says you're taking him back. That's what Tom wants. What's Bill going to do, quit?
Nope. And this is, if he didn't quit over the other quarterback, you're not quitting over the tight end. And so this is my point. It's like, there's no way Bill, you know, is going to let a player dictate when you show up. No, I tell you when to show up to work and when to leave. You don't tell me when you show up and leave. This just runs counter to everything Bill would want in his football team. But if it's not his call, it's not his call. And again, sort of like the Brady Garoppolo thing, the consolation prize is you get the best tight end in the history of football. So, you know, suck it up.
Yeah, I mean, look, again, not the worst possible thing in the world. I'm speaking selfishly on this. It's driving me batty already. It's driving me bananas. Like, we're going to have to play this stupid game all the time on whatever percent chance it is that Gronk's going to come back. Call it 40, call it 20, call it 10. I don't know. Whatever it is, like, if I were to guess at this stage, I'd say it's less than 50-50 that he comes back. But is it zero? No, of course not. It's zero. You never know what's going to happen down there. It could be any one of a million things. But this stupid game, I hate it. Isn't he? Yes. Is he? What about Gronk? Is Gronk coming back? What do you think of Gronk? Like I don't want to play that stupid game. There's just it's a vicious cycle, and there's no way out of it.
So what we played you before, Jimmy, you can just roll it from the top. Was Rich Eisen on his broadcast playing a little role play, a little improv with Gronk, which, you know, the grabassery, you know how I feel about that. But so they're, you know, let's just play a scene. And I want to know if you picked up something that I picked up earlier, and I forgot to mention it, but I want to do it here. Just play the beginning of that cut again, Jimmy. From Action, from that thing we played just now.
Action. Hey, Rob, it's Tom. How you been?
Hey, Tom. Good, man. I've been doing great, man. You're still killing it. You're like 42 years old now. I mean,
yeah,
I know you miss me, Tom. I know you do.
I do. Gronk, I do, man. It's not just me. It's everybody. We all miss you. And, you know, things are going great. You know, Bill's a pain in the ass, but it's really, you know, it's really something that could be better with you. Would you think of coming back and playing with me, Rob?
Oh, Tom. I mean,
so stop right there,
Tom.
You hear how he said Tom?
I missed that before.
Hear it again,
Tom.
Tom,
is that Gronkowski doing Murray doing Jim Gray?
Tom,
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 Tom. You gotta come back, Rob. Rob,
Tom,
Tom,
Tom.
Rob knows Tom. I know Dan. You obviously know Gordy. Gordy knows Chris. I know Camille. Camille knows Rob. Rob, you going to come back for Tom? Tom.
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 It does sort of sound like it.
It does. It totally does.
I think it's Gronk doing Murray doing Gray.
Tom.
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 I bet you Gronk listens to the show.
Tom.
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 Or at least he's seen a clip somewhere on YouTube.
Definitely.
I don't think. I do not think Gronkowski listens to sports radio. He doesn't.
Let someone send it to him then.
Right, or he came across his whatever.
Yeah.
Some sort
Twitter
of
feed.
Yeah, some sort of social media thing. Murray's got something out there on doing Jim Gray, and he's seen it. They've all seen it.
Oh, you know, not to pump my own tires.
Let's
here.
Pump them.
I clipped that whole thing with the when they threw the the toy onto the field.
Oh, yeah.
In Buffalo.
Oh, no, it did.
That thing kind of went viral a little bit.
It did.
Oh, yeah.
So Gronkowski's not, you know, listening, but he sees that crap on his phone.
Tom.
Tom.
Oh, I love it.
Good pull. Tom. That's a pull, Mike. I missed that earlier.
Tom.
There it is.
When they threw the what on the field in Buffalo, Murray?
You know, the thing? The thing.
Bill's Buffalo?
Yeah.
All right.
Tom.
So there's your Patriots reset. You want to weigh in on Gronkowski? Are you bugged by it already? It's like nothing's even happened. It's, you know, okay, Ben Watson fails a steroid test. He's being suspended. Is Gronkowski coming back? I sort of get it. If we get into camp, a tight end gets hurt. Okay, Gronkowski. They go the first couple weeks and they have two catches from a tight end, no touchdowns. You'll say, okay, where's Gronkowski? We get to the trade deadline. Okay, there's going to be an event that's going to bring this back every time. That's going to bug me too. But what's the event right now? It was the 4th of effing July. Why does it? Oh, because he played catch with Brady. That's right.
I'm telling you, get ready for this kind of crap. Seriously, get ready
endless.
For it. Oh, it is going to be a complete pain in the ass.
Okay, so there's your Patriots reset. 90 seconds, no commercials, and we're right back with your calls.
Thank you, Tom.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.